From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made at the Detroit Economic Club on August 8th. Donald Trump gave an address outlining his views on the economy, starting with his desire to see taxes and regulations peeled back and stripped away. He said that regulations were so burdensome, it has become impossible for anyone to start a small business in this country, and he wants to change that. 1 week ago, small business owners voted for Donald Trump in large margins, according to some exit polls. We continue to cover the election of Donald Trump, and this hour we focus on small business, what small business owners want next. And my first guest for the hour has plenty of experience in that area. Tim Sheafin is the owner of an auto repair business in West Bloomfield called CARS. That's an acronym for Certified Automotive Repair Service. He also runs his family's business, which is a shopping center in Mendon. And he probably felt really clever when he came up with CARS, only to find what, Tim?
It's been used by so many others all across the United States.
But they didn't make you take it away.
No. Fortunately, the moniker is regional. Yeah. It's not national.
There you go.
So I don't think I'm stepping on anybody else's toes.
I know you're happy with the election. First of all, congratulations on the victory for your candidate. And what I want to talk about this hour, and let me also say to listeners, we're going to talk with Tim about his business and his experience and what he's hoping in the next administration. So, small business owners in particular, I'd love to hear from you. 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free. 844-295-8255. And we'll get to those comments and questions you got coming up. But Tim, I want to start with a broad question, and then we'll kind of get more detailed. Why are you happy with last week's election?
Change. Finally, it feels like those of us that are working hard, struggling, hanging in there, not complaining, paying our taxes, going to work every day, finally we've been listened to. So hopefully, above and beyond the election of Donald Trump for our next president, the Democrats listen, the Republicans listen. There's a lot of us that aren't happy out here in America. And it isn't just the minorities. I guess we're still a majority, but it's the backbone of the American system. Us working men, us business owners, us people who meet the challenge every day, we're not being listened to. We haven't been listened to. We're not being treated as though we would like to be treated. And I think many of us saw in Donald Trump change.
Simple okay. Enough. All right. So let's talk about the history of CARS for starters here. I know you're an HFL grad. Is that right?
That's correct.
So you're local here. And
born and bred in Rochester region.
And stayed close to home.
Yep. Came back.
And you started the business in Lima and then moved it to West Bloomfield. Is that right?
That's correct. It was very difficult to find a place to open an auto repair shop. I got a start from a fellow businessman, Corby's Collision, Larry Corby. He let me rent a portion of his shop to get started. And then by the grace of God, the pathway of fate rolled out in front of me. A person who had a longtime business in West Bloomfield passed away, very close to my home, a community that's been very supportive, a very wonderful place to be, raise children. I had a great opportunity to move to West Bloomfield and put down my roots, and I've been there for over 16 years.
All right, so you've been in West Bloomfield, and let's see here, CARS opened there when?
April Fool's Day. 2000.
2000, April Fool's Day, 2000. And how many employees? How big is the business?
I have two full-time auto mechanics, two part-time staff people, service advisors, and myself. So there's usually 4 to 5 people wandering around my shop on a daily basis.
What is the biggest misconception about owning a small business?
I'm not rich. I work twice as hard as anybody. I put in longer hours than anybody. If you ask my wife, I'm never home. Fortunately, because I do own small business, I've been able to have the benefit of time with my kids. I've never missed much of my kids growing up. But I work 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week, and I get there 7 in the morning, and most days I don't leave till 6:30.
When you opened CARS 16 years ago, well, when you moved to West Bloomfield, you opened CARS 18 years ago, right?
That's correct.
All right. So when you opened CARS 18 years ago, did you have an idea for what size you thought you could get to? Did you have sort of a growth plan in mind? Can you tell me about that?
Well, you know, I'm sure anybody that contemplates opening their own business has ideals of being the biggest, the best, growing huge. But in my case, I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I have an enjoyment for my business. I like automobiles. I like repairing automobiles. And that's what really drew me into the desire to own my own business. I come from a family of cell phone businesses. So it wasn't unusual for me to consider that. But I guess it's safer for me to say that over this past 17, 18 years, I've come to realize that it isn't about the almighty dollar. It's not about being rich and famous. It's about finding a comfortable place, a wonderful community, supporting the community. They in turn support my business. Rare, but I think I represent most business owners. We want to be a productive part of the community. We want to be beneficial to our customers. And along the way, hopefully, we make enough money to live comfortably.
You got to be sustainable anyway, is the
exactly.
point. Yeah. So, I'm curious to know from your mindset, if you think it is local, state, or federal policy that impacts your business the most, Tim?
I'm going to answer that with an answer. It's kind of a little bit of everything. More than anything, the state affects me. I'm regulated by the state of New York. I'm a registered repair station, so there's regulations. There's fees involved. I'm a licensed inspection station. There's regulations. There's fees involved. I pay sales tax. There's regulations. There's fees involved. Nationally, however, with Obamacare, it struck me right in the pocketbook. The change with the implementing of this national healthcare program was a benefit to the majority, and I support that, and I would not like to see it all go away. However, the way it's been administered, the way it's likely to continue to be administered, it results in just extremely expensive costs to myself, to those that had health insurance and now have seen it change uncontrollably. It's going to be more costly to those stepping in. So, I hope there's a solution to save some parts of the Obamacare, but to hammer out some major issues with Obamacare, primarily cost.
Was that what impacted you more than anything else in the last 18 years since you opened that business? Is that the single most...
Nationally.
Yeah,
yes.
That's the piece of policy or change that has impacted your business the most.
That's changed my business the most. There was a time where we helped underwrite the cost of healthcare to our employees for a number of years. We saw those premiums go up, up, up. We saw the coverages go down, down, down. And that was before a national healthcare was proposed. As soon as the national healthcare was proposed, I remember saying to my wife, watch out. Our premiums are going to go through the roof. Our coverage is going to disappear. And she chuckled. But that's exactly what's happened. We once had a health insurance that was somewhat affordable for us, $300-$400 a month, had decent coverage. Now my health insurance is more than twice that. I get it through my wife's employer. And our coverage is pitiful.
Okay, so that's the single biggest change. When it comes to 1998 to 2016, you get into office at the tail end of the Clinton administration. You're there for all 8 years of George W. Bush. You've been there up for all 8 years of the Obama administration. What else has impacted you, or give me a sense as a small business owner, how the ebb and flow of governing has impacted you and how you see it?
If I come from a monetary direction, fuel prices made a huge impact in my business, a positive and negative. When the fuel prices went up to almost $4 a gallon, I saw quite a few customers come to me that never came to me before because they now thought locally. They didn't think, oh, I'll go into the city or I'll go to a metropolis to get my car repairs. I'll stay close. When fuel was cheap, people would go anywhere for a $14 oil change. When fuel was expensive, my $19 oil change didn't sound so bad. It kind of changed the way my community supported me because I saw actually more support when the fuel expenses went extremely high. Now, I tie that fuel price into the national picture. I've been giving it a lot of thought, anticipating coming on the show today. Everybody says, oh, our economy's better. We're talking, 2016. Well, our economy has improved somewhat, but I'm going to tie it into the cost of fuel. Right now, fuel is cheap, and you got a lot more money to spend at the end of every week. 5 years ago, it wasn't that way. 8 years ago, it wasn't that way. Throughout the Clinton administration, it wasn't that way. I'm not blaming Clintons. I'm not going to blame Bush. I'm not going to blame Obama. But what I am going to say is the politicians don't really see things through our eyes. They see all kinds of things that need improving and changing and different approach, but they really never come right down to the Joe Q public and say, "What's your biggest expense?" I think everybody can say their biggest expense is the cost of fuel.
Okay. And so now, Tim, going forward here, I think presidents probably get overrated when it comes to the impact on gas prices, for example. You know, Newt Gingrich warned that if Obama was reelected in 2012, we were going to have $6 a gallon gas. Of course, we haven't. But Obama, I don't think, gets all the credit for that. I mean, I think we sort of overblame and overcredit, probably. But what, in general, fuel prices could really hurt you if they go up higher?
That's an unknown. In all honesty, I think if fuel prices go up higher, it's going to benefit me.
Okay, so you could benefit again, more people may not want to drive
as far.
I'm
not desiring that.
Okay.
But I could benefit.
Okay, so interestingly enough, you're one of the businesses that would benefit, but it's not something that you're rooting for, hoping
no.
for. Okay. I see the phone ringing. I promise we're going to get to your phone calls coming up here as we talk about small business and the election of Donald Trump. I read an interesting article yesterday because I recalled when he was campaigning in New Hampshire. And when he was in New Hampshire has this history of all these house parties and diners and these greasy spoons, and you get to kind of roll up your sleeves and see people. And Trump wanted to sleep in Trump Tower every night. Did not want to sleep in the hotels. Ted Cruz sort of razzed him for that. You know, I mean, like, you're flying home every night and then you're flying back in the morning and you're only doing the big rallies. And at the time, Cruz and Kasich and others said, look at this guy, you know, with the silver spoon, doesn't want to get in the small towns and diners. And by the time we vote in November, Trump has the reputation of understanding the people who are in more rural areas, more forgotten, less heard from. How did that happen? Give me a sense for someone like you and your business, how you came to view him as something who says he understands me or he's listening to me.
Well, I don't want to get too winded on this.
It's okay. It's why you're here.
When in Rome comes to mind, you know, if I were in Trump's shoes, I would have spent the night in New Hampshire. You know, what a better way to get to know the people that you want to represent, but, you know, walk around in their shoes. However, I look at Donald Trump as a businessman first. I can put aside his brashness. I can put aside his arrogance. My hope, and I think many of the Trump supporters' hope, is that he sticks to business. He remembers how it feels to have to make concessions, how it feels have to juggle things, how it feels have to economize. I think he can walk around in my shoes so much more easily than the other politicians that we had to choose from could walk around in my shoes. And in my opinion, a lot of the choices we had up and coming through this election race across the spectrum of its beginning to now, there were the wrong people to choose from. Year after year after year, we have the wrong people to choose from. I didn't want to choose two freshman senators. I didn't want to choose from a lifelong politician. Donald Trump represented to me, and probably to most of the people that ended up voting for him, that change that I talked about when we first started talking, something different. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is a change, not a change in how we treat one another, not a change in how our temperament is spread across the United States, good, bad, or otherwise, but a change in how we act. I would compare it to body cameras for police officers. Do you think a policeman is going to act better with a body camera on or off? Well, how are our politicians going to act with a business person guiding the helm of the ship instead of a lifelong politician? Maybe Donald Trump will keep some of these naysayer Republicans on their toes. Maybe Donald Trump will keep some of these corrupt politicians honest. It's hard to say what's going to happen, but like I said earlier, I think myself and the others that voted for Donald Trump really were looking for a change.
Okay, before I get to the calls, which we are going to spend most of the hour on, my guest is Tim Schieffen, who is the owner of an auto repair business in West Bloomfield. It's called CARS, C-A-R-S, stands for Certified Automotive Repair Service. And he's talking about the small business perspective that voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump last Tuesday. And it has a lot of optimism that the next administration is going to hear small business concerns more, going to maybe loosen regulation, maybe make it a little easier to either grow or to at least stay. Tim is crossing his fingers right now. To stay in business. I have a couple sound bites I want to hear. First is from Donald Trump's address to the Detroit Economic Club. This is on August 8th. Let's listen.
You cannot ever start a small business under the tremendous regulatory burden that you have today in our country. I'm going to end it. It is time to remove the anchor dragging us down. And that's what it's doing. It's dragging us down. Upon taking office, I will issue a temporary moratorium on new agency regulations.
Trump has said, Tim, regulations can kill business. Do they affect you?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of regulations that I'm fearful of. There's a number of regulations that I may or may not be bridled with. I'm regulated by the Department of Environmental Conservation. I'm regulated by the state of New York. All of us small businessmen are fearful of OSHA. We don't need or want the hammer to come down on us if we're, you know, not following the rules properly. And, you know, there's a lot of regulation to dig through to know what rules to follow. Regulation is a double-edged sword. We need regulation. I need regulation. You know, I need to be an honest businessman. I need to treat the public fairly. I need to represent my product honestly. I need to stand behind my repairs. In New York State, I have to provide a warranty for the repairs I do on your car. I have to call and get an approval before I do repairs on your car. So these regulations are a benefit to the community, to the public, to the customers that come into my shop. Now, when is regulations too much? You know, there's other businesses that I'm sure are much more regulated than me. Again, I don't think all regulations are a bad thing. I desire to provide a safe place for my employees. I desire to provide a clean place for my community. So, most of us business people, we embrace regulations. We do our best to keep up with regulations. The people that are throwing regulations off to the side, those aren't the type of businessmen that I want to be like.
Sure, but is there an example of one you can point to and say, look, if most of them are understandable, this is ridiculous. Is there one that stands out to you?
Well, the upcoming minimum wage change will stand out to me. That's unacceptable. I'm a firm believer that the kid that's got a part-time high school job isn't worth what the working mother trying to raise her kids is. You know, there's got to be a differential there. There's got to be another way to help this. Someone once said insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over and over again, knowing the results are going to be the same. I might not be paraphrasing that right. That's what the minimum wage increase is. It's insanity. It's never worked before. Every time it's been implemented, everything else is using that as an indicator. And the thing you're trying to give these people at the minimum wage is then eaten up. It's gone. So, yes, we should increase the minimum wage from time to time. But as Donald Trump said, it should be determined by the business community, not the government.
Okay. And this is a place where maybe Tim is applauding Obama. This is the first presidential administration in recent memory where there's been no minimum wage increase. There was one in 2009 on the federal level, but that was built in and passed in 2007. There's been none on the federal level under Obama. We've seen Governor Andrew Cuomo, of course, and New York State is what Tim is sort of smiling about right now.
I have a different word for Mr. Cuomo. He's a thug. He browbeat our senators, our unanimous Republican senators all voted for a minimum wage increase. Are you kidding me? I did not vote for Rich Funky this time around. It didn't matter.
Because of that?
Because of that. I wrote a poignant letter to Mr. Funky's office. I wrote another one to Assemblyman Kolb. Those are my two representatives. I initially did vote for Rich Funky. I thought he was a stand-up guy, local guy, bright.
You think he sold you out here?
I think all the Republican senators sold me out. And they sold out upstate New York businessmen, because my understanding is that, quote, thug, my words, said, we're going to hold back the allocations to your district unless you guys act on this proposal. And I mean, what kind of politics is that? That's wrong, first and foremost. And secondly, I think those that are making the decisions don't have an understanding of what it's truly like out here in the business world. I'm sure Rich Funke doesn't. I don't think he's ever operated his own business. But Assemblyman Kolb, he had a completely different response to me. And I happened to check the way he voted, and he voted in support of my opinion, which is, you know, yeah, we need some kind of minimum wage increase, but we don't need this lavish minimum wage increase that was encouraged to be passed through the Senate.
Okay. And last one before we go to the phones. On the other side of small business, we did see throughout this campaign sort of a drip, drip, drip of small business owners who came out and said they felt like they got stiffed by Donald Trump. And my guess is you probably saw some of it. One of the examples is an architect, a guy by the name of Andrew Tesoro. He was the man hired to design the clubhouse for Trump National Golf Club. Trump loved the work. He sent a letter of recommendation for future clients. He called Tesoro an architect with great vision and creativity. But Tesoro told CNN that he basically got stiffed by Donald Trump. And this is his commentary about how it impacted his business.
I was shortchanged well over $100,000.
Did it have a lasting impact on your firm?
Well, certainly it did. It was a grave disappointment. We were paid at the end a small sum, roughly 15 cents on the dollar, relative to what we had rightfully billed and billed in accordance with multiple agreements.
So if he was a one-off, it'd be one thing, but there are plumbers, there are dishwashers, there are designers, there are bartenders who have come out and said the same thing, that the Trump Corporation loves to, after the fact, pay you half and then say, come after us in court when they know that you can't. I mean, if that's true, Tim, unless everybody's lying, you know, does that change your view of him and his relationship to small business?
I'm not going to say it changes my view. Okay. I would call it dirty pool, pulling the rug out. I'd like to know more about the details of those agreements. It's not unusual for a firm to hire a contractor to come in and do a job. The contractor gets a deposit. The contractor gets draws during the job. And then, you know, a certain amount is held back until the job is completed. So, you know, I'd like to know more details. You know, why was it held back? Was there, you know, some nitpicking stuff that apparently is fell to the wayside? I'm not trying to defend Donald Trump. I just think there's probably more to that story. And, you know, you get an organization like the Trump Organization, which has to be sprawling. It spans states. He's got operations in Florida, Washington, D.C., New Jersey, New York. I mean, this isn't Cars in West Bloomfield. This is Sears and Roebuck. I mean, this is nationwide. So, you know, to understand all the innuendos of the deals and the payolas and who got stiffed and who didn't get stiffed and why, I'm open-minded enough to say, hey, come to the defense of these accusations.
Okay. And then on that point, on the big companies and big corporations, read a very interesting article in the Atlantic about how the Democrats lost their populist soul starting in the 1970s. I'm going to try to have the author of that piece on very soon. And the argument says that when we let companies get so big and concentrate so much power, that the Walmarts come to town, they get tax breaks. The little guys who've been here fighting for years get trampled. And that we've got to find a way back towards something that's more fair to small communities. Because look at our rural areas that are carved out, hollowed out. They don't have much left here. Does Donald Trump strike you as the kind of person who would say, yes, I'm more worried about the cars as opposed to a big auto company, or I'm more worried about a Walmart versus a mom and pop store?
One of the things that made me a Trump supporter right out of the gate is he walked into this with his own money. And I'm tired of hearing about these PACs. I'm tired of hearing about people who are sending big money to candidates. You know, there is definitely some expectation there on the part of the donor. Regardless, you know, if I were to donate $100 to WXXI today, I don't think I'd be back next week looking for some expectation. But if I was a huge underwriter, you know, I might have a little opinion on, hey, maybe you guys could give me a little better press once in a while, something like that. Now, I'm not trying to implicate WXXI.
No, I understand what you're saying, though, because Trump himself said during the campaign when he donated to politicians on both sides, he had an expectation that he would get a return.
And I agree with that. And I think that's where many of us business owners see a ray of hope in Donald Trump. And I think that ray of hope has allowed us to look past some of the rougher edges. And let's hope that we, you know, to borrow a phrase, let's hope we hold him accountable for some of these comments. And yeah, back to the Walmart thing. You're absolutely right. Mom and pop get kicked in the pants a lot. And the strength of these bigger companies and the ability of those bigger companies to come in and kind of push around a little bit, that happens over and over. And I could cite example after example. One of the local examples is Lima. They wanted a Walmart in Lima. There was enough people who stood up to the proposal, there is no Walmart in Lima. And that's democracy in action. You know, one of the things we have to remember as citizens, we all take our freedom and our rights for granted. What about our obligations? Have you ever asked an American citizen what his obligation as a citizen is? Do the people listening know what their obligation as citizens are? That's something I teach our Boy Scouts. What are your obligations? And rather than me list off a bunch of them, I think the listeners today really need to ask themselves, what as citizens are we obligated to do in this country?
It sounds to me like what you're saying is in Lima, people felt like we are obligated to support the mom and pop stores by standing up against it.
I think so. I think the majority came out in support of mom and pop. I think they weren't just looking at the mom and pops in Lima, but the mom and pops in the surrounding communities.
Yep.
And I think there was some speculation on the part of Walmart that they were going to get into a county with a lower sales tax rate that might give them an advantage, and they'd be able to get a stronghold in a market that might give them a successful location. And let's hope that the people in Lima are happy with the results. I know I am. I'm happy that they're not 3 or 4 miles away from my auto shop offering auto services that are priced cheaper than mine. And I think some of the businesses that are still active and functioning in those communities certainly appreciate that they're not there.
Talking to Tim Sheafin, who is the owner of Cars in West Bloomfield. That's an auto repair service. He runs a family business, which is a shopping center in Mendon. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So he's had business owning experience for decades now, and he is telling us why, in his view, people like him, business owners, small business owners in large margins, voted for Donald Trump a week ago, and what the expectation is going forward now. Let's get our only break of the hour, and we'll come back to your phone calls next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, the legacy of songwriter Leonard Cohen. He passed away at the age of 82, best known for his hit Hallelujah, which ironically never really was a hit when he was performing it. It became a big hit when others did. Cohen will be remembered for his songwriting, his reliance on real lyricism. What does it mean for songwriting going ahead? We'll talk about it. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Let me get back to your phone calls now. Tony in Geneseo first up. Go ahead, Tony.
Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. So I'm glad your guest talked about obligations and responsibility. Because I want to know, what's his obligation and responsibility in holding Donald Trump accountable for the hateful things that he said and he's done? I personally would like to know all the local politicians and all the business owners who supported Trump, because I seriously question their commitment to our community. Trump's advisor, Steve Bannon, said, and it's quoted today in the New York Times, "Let's turn on the hate. That's how we'll get things done." So I think that your guests and business owners who supported Trump should take responsibility for what they've done in their vote. And I think people that may want to patronize or may not want to patronize them should know that.
All right, Tony.
Please put a sign in your window.
Tony, thanks for the phone call. Tim, go ahead.
Sure. You know, I sympathize with Tony. And Tony, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to be a nice guy. I'm going to continue to volunteer in my community. I'm going to continue to participate with Boy Scouts of America and be a mentor. I'm going to continue to live up to the ideals of being a role model. And I think I'm safe saying that probably 90% of the Trump voters occupy the same position in their community. You know, it's all about Americans, not anything else. You know, I spent yesterday on the internet doing some research in preparation for being here today. And back in the 1970s, there was a Schoolhouse Rock segment that I can remember as a young person watching, and it was called The Great American Melting Pot. You know, why can't people of, you know, all backgrounds embrace other cultures, embrace other religions, embrace other people? I mean, that's what I do on a daily basis. I hope you would have the opportunity to go out and meet those Trump voters and find out that we're some of the nicest, kindest, friendliest people in the entire world. And I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care what your ethnic background is. I am going to treat you just like I was taught to treat people under the golden rule. And I don't know what Steve Bannon had to say, and I don't know what his turn on the hate means, but I did not hear Donald Trump spew any hate rhetoric. The worst thing I think I heard Donald Trump say was, get them out of here, at a Trump rally when people were acting up and protesting. You know, can the man fit a size 13 shoe in his mouth? Yes, he can. Am I proud of that? No, I'm not. And yes, I think us Trump voters are going to hold him to a higher standard. And I really hope that we do. I hope that we demand good behavior, tolerance, kindness. You know, I talked earlier about the Boy Scouts. I am a Boy Scout leader. You know, we teach our youth to follow the Boy Scout law. You know, a scout is courteous, kind, obedient, thrifty, brave, cheerful. I could sit here and rattle them off for you, but that's what it's all about. Why can't we treat other people the way we would like to be treated?
Yeah, I know. I take the point you're making. I think Tony would probably follow up and say, you know, Steve Bannon's a new figure for a lot of us. We don't really know him intimately. We can look at the headlines. We can look what he's written. He has a website that has a separate tag for black crime. He wrote this summer that he thinks some human beings are more naturally aggressive, indicating he thinks that's African-American. He has, obviously, we heard what his wife said about his comments about Jewish people. There's a number of misogynistic comments as well. So the point is, he's going to be advising the president. And then what Tony is saying is, obligation's good. Shouldn't we be calling this out now? Or did you vote for something that put something, you may be a nice guy, you're leading the Boy Scouts, you know, you are thumbs up in your community, you are welcoming to all people. But did you vote for somebody who's not in that way?
No, I don't think so. You know, I'm as surprised at the choices he has for staff members and cabinet members as the rest of the people in the United States. I wrote an email to Evan prior to coming on the show, and Evan's very kind, because I'm sure my email sounded very excited and very you know, frank about supporting Donald Trump. However, Donald Trump is no dummy. The man is successful. If you want to be successful, surround yourself with successful people. I mean, that's probably one of his underlying rules. It certainly worked good for me. I've got a staff that's fantastic at my auto shop. They come in with a good attitude. They work hard. And I've surrounded myself with intelligent, smart people. They don't always agree with me. I don't always agree with them. But thank God I've got the opportunity to listen to another person's point of view. I want to hear everybody's point of view. Former police chief Shepard was on the radio a few times, and he said something to the effect of, if my opinion is the only one in the room, that's not good. You know, we need to listen to everybody. Now, is he going to listen to Steve Bannon? Well, I hope not in that event. But is he going to maybe sample an opinion from several different people, consider the opinions of millions and millions of Americans? Yeah, I think he will. That's why he is successful. And quite frankly, I think that's one of the reasons I voted for him, is my hope that because of his success, he's smart enough to listen to a broad spectrum.
All right, let me get back to your phone calls. Tim Sheafin, my guest, who's a small business owner in West Bloomfield since 1990. Well, in West Bloomfield since 2000, a small business owner of an auto repair shop since 1998. Opened it in Lima, moved it to West Bloomfield in 2000. And he's talking about hopes for the next administration. Barbara in Brighton is next up. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi there. Are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
All righty. obligations as a citizen is to pay taxes. I just want to point out on the side that Mr. Trump didn't pay any taxes for the 18 years that you have opened your business. Fair wages, that affects mainly women and children and certainly adults, not for teen jobs. Setting wages, that's like asking the fox to set the wage in the hen house if you want the business community to decide how much workers are paid. OSHA protects your workers and the families that you appropriately care for. You're making excuses for Trump even when small businesses have lost under him. I heard reasonable comments from you. I really was thinking this is sounding pretty good right up until you called Cuomo a thug, which is just what Trump spent the last 18 months doing. And for you to say nothing spewed out of his mouth is like so shocking, I can't even stand it. And I'm delighted that you're improving the Boy Scouts because they spent their entire history being anti-gay. And so, one of the things that I liked about what you said was that you want to be part of a community. Well, so do the vast majority of low-income and poor folks if they could have more opportunities. And this is one of a number of points where Trumpers and non-Trumpers could agree. So I would like to ask you if you would like to commit to hiring a poor person so that we can start working to make this a change. And I'll take my answers off the air.
All right, Barbara, thank you. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, Barbara, I appreciate your opinion. Thanks for calling in on the show. And I don't know if I can respond to all these 100%, but let me give it a shot. I would never make excuses for Donald Trump. He's a big boy. He can live with the results of his big mouth. I would tell you how I look at him. I would tell you how I hear what he has to say. And I'm the type of person that likes to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, not to have it interpreted by somebody who's not repeating it properly. Let's talk about not paying taxes. One thing a business does is it becomes a tax generator. So I don't pay any more taxes now as a business owner than I paid when I worked for a car dealership. But what I do is I employ people. And when I employ a person, those people now work. They earn wages. Their wages are taxed. I collect those wages. I send them into the government. I match quite a bit of those dollars when they're sent into the government for a variety of things. You can talk to your accountant and find out what. The other thing I do is I now have a source of commerce. My source of commerce creates sales. The sales are taxed. Here it comes to Governor Cuomo. And yeah, I called him a thug. That's my personal opinion. That's just how I feel he runs the government. Maybe he's a really nice guy. Maybe him and I could sit down sometime, have a nice dinner and talk for hours, and I might grow to like him a little more. But from my point of view right now, as a business owner in New York State, he's a thug.
All right. To your emails we go. Dan writes to us and says, Dan writes, the Affordable Care Act is kind of a disaster for small business owners. The insurance is expensive, the coverage is minimal, and on top of that, for small businesses, the ACA makes growth a double-edged sword. A small business owner has to predict future revenue in order to figure out insurance costs. If they underestimate it and make more money, the business has to pay money back as a result of being oversubsidized. If they overestimate future revenue, they deprive themselves of the appropriate insurance subsidy. It ends up being too much of an encumbrance to make sense for small businesses. That's from Dan. You agree with that, Tim?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I'd like to borrow a comment from Barbara, though. The Obamacare has, the current plan we have has made health insurance companies the administrators of a lot of these plans. That's putting the fox in charge of the hen house right there. All right. These companies spend more money on administration than you could ever imagine. If you could add up all the money you spend to a health providing company and then back off the amount of money they ever pay out to you, it's worse than having a 30-year mortgage. It's ridiculous. So yeah, there's a lot of problems with the current health care system that we have. It's done some wonderful things. I think my 21-year-old son who lives at home is very pleased that he doesn't have to buy his own health insurance. Unfortunately, it's too much to wade through. As a small businessman, I can't wade through it. I'm going to have to send people to the marketplace and get a salesman from the marketplace to you know, point out all the options and prices and coverages. It's just there's way too much to dig into to get it straight and to get it fair. There's a lot of effort that's going to have to go into solving this problem.
Dominic writes to the program and says, Evan, this guest sounds very reasonable, but he did say something I think you should question. He called the governor a thug. So he's objecting. Barb objected. So, Tim, you've got some people who are offended at your use of the term thug for the governor.
Well, maybe I should use a better term, an extortionist, somebody who's using strong arm tactics to get what he wants, a bully. I mean, I could use 5 or 10 different terms to describe what I've seen. I could use good terms, bad terms. I don't think he's a collaborator. He could be a better collaborator.
Maybe Rich Funke thinks the minimum wage increase was a good idea.
Maybe he does. Rich doesn't have to do what I say. Rich has a mind of his own. I think that's why he was elected there. Maybe he knows more than I do. Maybe Rich got letters from thousands of small businessmen that didn't share my idea. Oh, boo-hoo, I guess I'll go home and cry for 24 hours. There is no guaranteed answer. There is no guaranteed formula. Collaboration, some respect, some courtesy, all these things need to come into the political forum. We need to make good decisions that's going to benefit the most people and do the best we can.
Talking to Tim Schieffen, who is an auto repair business owner, a small business owner in West Bloomfield. And again, if you missed it earlier, Tim has 2 full-time employees, 2 part-time employees, and he's been there in Bloomfield for the last 16 years. We're talking to Tim because Donald Trump won small business owners just like Tim handily last week. Doesn't mean that he won them all. And I've been hearing from small business owners on both sides. Just got an email from a man named Mark saying, Evan, this is the most open-minded broadcast I've ever heard on WXXI. Thank you, Mark. Actually, Tim and I email on occasion. I don't know him personally. It's the first time I've met him in person. But do you feel listened to in this broadcast? Do you feel...
I'm going to tell you right now that I'm pretty much a conservative,
sure,
embarrassed Republican.
An embarrassed Republican?
Embarrassed Republican. I'm embarrassed to say I'm a Republican. The Republican parties are a bunch of boneheads. Look what they've done to a man who's overwhelmingly won the consensus for people to be president, the way he's been treated, what they've put him through. Regardless of who he is, what he has to say, their treatment of this man has been deplorable, to borrow a term from Hillary.
Of which man? We're talking about Trump?
Trump, yeah. The Ryan has treated him deplorably. The former Republican presidents have treated him deplorably. At least they could have put a good face on and said, hey, he's a Republican candidate now. Let's back the Republican candidate. That didn't happen. So I am embarrassed to be a Republican, but I am very conservative. And what I was beginning to say is I listen to your FM dial because I like the music. And I listen to your show because I like your show. And you, Evan, have always been very open-minded and have always done a very good job about presenting the right information. I'm not just sucking up to Evan because I'm in the studio today. I'm here to say that every time I've listened to the show, you've been fair, you've been considerate, you've been polite. You've hosted a variety of opinions that we need. I need to hear these other opinions. It helps make my judgment better. If we don't have a democracy that works, if we don't have a rapport that allows positive, beneficial things to come from it, what are we? Communists? And thank God I have the ability to say the word thug about a politician in the state. Amen for America. I mean, this is the greatest country in the world. I live the American dream. I'm able to go to work every day. I'm able to succeed. I'm able to raise my children in a safe environment. Good Lord, can any of us in this country have a better place to be?
All right, so it sounds like America's already pretty great, Tim.
It's fantastic.
Okay, all right. Preet in Rochester, next up. Go ahead, Preet.
Yeah, hi, Evan. First of all, I respect your show. I've been listening to you a long time. As Tim said, open platform. Thank you for giving us a chance,
Sure.
I'm a small business owner. I own 6-7 units of business here in Rochester, Syracuse, that area. I employ about 80-90 people, in total. So, I've been talking to a lot of people before the elections, after the election. Main thing is, Evan, this. Whomever voted for Trump, number one thing they said, there's multitude of reasons, but number one reason they said, that they were tired and sick of status quo. You know, they needed a change. And I think I'm in that group too. You know, it's a little stain going on in the country. It's like some groups have done very well. People on Wall Street, intellectuals, people of that sort, you know. And some people have not done so well. Blue collar and small business owners, you know. Let me give you an example. I own a small gas station in a small town in Syracuse country. Employ about 6-7 people. 3 years back, when the minimum wage, or 3 or 4 years back, when the minimum wage was $7.15, and the manager's weekly wage was $515. Now the minimum wage is 9, and it's going up to 970. And the manager wages went up from $515 a week to $675. Let me tell you this, Alan. That gas station, I'm telling you straightforward what it was. It made about $40,000, $50,000 net income in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, I think it made about $8,000. And that does not include my salary or anything. I didn't take any penny over and beyond that $8,000. So when people think of these businesses, the business owners, they think that we make tons of money. That ain't true. And that gas station is open 18 hours, 365 days, even on Christmas Day open.
And still is.
So I get called in the middle of the night, you know.
And Preet, I've got to let you just because I want to make sure we squeeze in a few other calls. But I think Tim's point earlier this hour, what's the biggest misconception about small businesses is exactly what Preet is saying there. Anything you want to add to what Preet said?
You're a wonderful man. Thank you for providing the opportunities for your employees. And thank you for being part of America because it's guys like you and me that are dealing with this stuff.
Sam in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Sam.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Your guest there, he was called Cuomo a thug because he said he used strong tactics. Well, then he should call his candidate, his president-elect, a thug because he did the same thing to the people of which he operated with by having them do work and then took and did pay them. And also, he said he was a leader of the Boy Scouts. And one of the conditions of the Boy Scouts is to be respected. So I want him to explain to me what he says to those Boy Scouts when they heard what was said about grabbing ladies by their genitalia and being able to do anything to them.
All right, Sam, thank you, Sam. Go ahead. How do you talk to Boy Scouts if they bring up Donald Trump and his conduct and comments about women?
Well, I make it a point not to talk about politics at the Boy Scouts. That's not my job as a mentor to feed my ideas into the Boy Scouts. I will feed the Scout Law. A Scout is courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Those are some of the rules to live by that we ask the boys to live by. And I would doubt Donald Trump made it through Boy Scouts or made any rank improvements in Boy Scouts. Those type of comments are lewd, crude. I would say it's not unusual for red-blooded, testosterone-filled men talking to men to talk like that. Should we call it locker room talk? Well, clearly not. But have I said things like that to a fellow man on the QT? Well, probably not that bad, but I've used words that I may not be proud of. But I don't treat people like that, and I don't treat women like that, and I don't talk like that. It's an embarrassment. And yeah, I bet Donald Trump has used some thug-style tactics in his life. I would not be proud of that. I would not encourage that. Maybe thug is the wrong word. If he cheated me out of money, I'd call him a creep, a cheapskate, a shyster.
All right, let's do it in 20 seconds, Keith. You got to have your shortest phone call ever. Go ahead. Oh, Keith, you're listening on the radio. Okay, bye, Keith. Brian, we're tight. Brian just writes, the potential benefits as a small business owner for me under Donald Trump, a lower minimum wage, relaxed overtime regulations, both great if I don't care about the employees, but I do. I think he's saying, you know, he's trying to understand employees have it tough too, not just employers.
Absolutely. Us responsible, respectful employers have a liability and a responsibility to our employees to make sure they're paid fairly. How the minimum wage affected me, when it was raised last time, it gave a part-time high school kid a raise he didn't earn. And it raises the pay for a retired woman on Social Security who does office work for me. It raised her rate up so much that she had to cut her hours so she could continue to get Social Security without getting taxed on it. So there's a gray area there. We need to be responsible, and we need to treat our employees well.
As we get ready to wrap the hour with Tim Schieffen and the owner of Cars, Tim is a small business owner who voted for Donald Trump along with many small business owners in this country. He mentioned Obamacare in his words. And again, I know some people don't like that term. The president himself uses it, but I will also defer and say Affordable Care Act, because I understand some people don't like it. But Tim has said Affordable Care Act has been the biggest expense. He's hoping for at least a repeal and replace or of some kind of change. 20 seconds, Tim. Give me one other big priority that you will be watching for under the Trump White House.
That he keeps his promises. And that he acts like a responsible, respectful, polite human being.
You think he will?
Well, the word hope comes to mind. I hope so.
Thank you for being here.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Tim's been in business down there for 16 years in Bloomfield, 18 years with a business called Cars. It's his auto repair shop, certified automotive repair service. Thanks for all the phone calls. Got through as many as we could. And let's get that short break and come right back on Connections next time.